while back, I just want to pick up on some of the prophetic words that have come through tonight, just during the prayer meeting, just about going deeper. That I'm hoping that tonight, that just as we've come into a place of worship at the start and just already able to go into the presence of God and connect with Him in an intimate way, but that will go deeper. Deeper with Him. That there would be a hunger within every single one of us to grow in our intimate love relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen. And obviously, just the prophetic words that said, there's God calling. Maybe you're on the outside looking in. You see what's happening. And God tonight's going to say, He's calling you to come in. He's knocking on the door. He said, let me come in. And so there's going to be that opportunity for God to bring those who are lost, those who are desperate for God, those who are in desperate circumstances. I wrote a book about, of the last 10 years. I wrote a book and then finished it about a year ago. And I wrote this as part of my introduction. God has set aside a certain number of days for every one of us. And my deep desire is that I do not waste the one life God has given me. God has not assigned each of us a number of days simply to inhale and exhale and wait passively for His imminent return, but rather to live our lives out loud in full color and full view of the world. He has invited each of us to give ourselves radically to His purpose, both for our lives and for the sake of the world He loves so much. So our purpose for the short few years we live on this planet, that I together with my family and trust with so many of you, for the short few years we live on this planet, that I together with my family will run this race with passion and intention, and so glorify our beautiful Lord and Savior. So many Christians settle for living an average, safe existence, risking a little for the sake of comfort, and never truly living in the will and ways of God. I do not want this to be my story, but rather I want to leave a legacy of a life where what I did and accomplished mattered to God, where the lives of people have been transformed through my passionate choice to serve God in my generation, and where through enthusiastic faithfulness to God, joy is restored to communities and God is glorified. We've got one life to live, all of us, and make it count for Jesus, make it count for God. The story of the Bible can be summarized in one word: redemption. From Genesis, from the moment that God created the world and man's sin, God initiated a plan of redemption, which will be consummated one day when there's a new heaven and new earth restored. And in between that, in the Bible, is God's story of wanting to redeem people to Himself, individuals to Himself, into intimate relationship with God. It is the story of the Bible. And if you're wanting to interpret the Bible well, when you read the Bible well, one question you need to ask yourself, or just as a practical thing, God, what do you want to redeem in my life today? What do you want to restore in someone else's life today through me as I spend time with you? God wants to redeem. Amen? It's a beautiful story. 66 love letters. And we are love letter number 67. We are God's love letter to our world. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son is also in the like manner, does in the like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than those, that you may marvel." God's glory is His purpose. And God's purpose is His glory. That's what He's redeeming. He's redeeming His glory. He's redeeming that His character be made known to the principalities and powers, but most importantly, to you and to me. And so Yah is in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. There's this verse which summarizes, I believe, God's plan of redemption. It says, Hebrews 2 verse 10, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom all things and by whom all things are, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." There it is. God wanting to restore, redeem people for Himself into a place of sonship. God's highest agenda is to bring sons and daughters into glory. Amen? That's the highest purpose of God in terms of His working in the planet and with us, with His Word. And that is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose of Josh Jen, and should be the purpose of every believer. How I can grow, how I can mature, become more like Jesus, bringing Him more glory, but I also can bring others into that place of redemption, of being restored to the right relationship with Jesus. That's where it's at. And so I would love to give you a little window, just a little glimpse of a picture of what if Jesus came to Sunningdale PM. What would it look like? What could it look like? It's not everything, but it's a little picture that I've got. And I feel I got this picture about 3 weeks ago when we were in Zaya Church. They asked me, do I want to share at the comm group? And I didn't have anything specifically. And then just about 10 minutes before the comm started, I said to the guys leading, I said, "Listen, I'm going to read the scripture and just see what God says. I'm reading the scripture." So it's out of that place that I started to get some thoughts about what if God came to your home group? What if God came to your community? What if God came to Sunningdale PM? What if Jesus actually began, where two or three are gathered there, Jesus amongst them, what would that meeting look like? Because I want to tell you that the meeting would have a thread of redemption connected to it all along. That He wants to redeem. Make Jesus and His love more and more real to us than ever before. Amen. The moment I was filled with the Holy Spirit, 1979, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Something changed in my heart that I wanted to know God experientially. I wanted to know the presence of God in my life. And now I have a window, a little picture of what could happen if Jesus really came to our meeting. This is how it goes. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It's very well known. Several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum. And the news of His arrival spread quickly through the town. Soon the house where He was staying was so packed with visitors that there wasn't room for one person, not even one, outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't get to Jesus through the crowd, so they dug through the clay roof above His head. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law were sitting there said to themselves, "What? This is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were discussing among themselves, so He said to them, "Why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk?' I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, take your mat, and go on home, because you are healed. The man jumped up, took the mat, pushed his way through the stunned onlookers. Then they all praised God. We have never seen anything like this before, they exclaimed. Wow. What a beautiful picture of Jesus in the house. Jesus coming to house and things happening. And I'm going to focus not on everything, but there are a few things that I'd like to just us to look at to see the heart of the Father. Because as I read earlier on, the purpose of Jesus was coming to this world was to reveal the heart of the Father. He said, I do nothing that the Father doesn't show me. And so he's revealing the heart of the Father to the people in the house and to that paralyzed man and to the friends. That's what he's doing. That is the purpose of the church. Reveal the heart of the Father. Hello, are we there? It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the world and what we as a church are called to do. So here we have Jesus in the house. And he's preaching the word, which happens in church. He preaches to them. There's doctrinal stuff that's happening. He's preaching to the people. There are different groups of people there. There's family. There's friends. The scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law are there. So there's this mixture of people in the house together from different backgrounds. They're all there listening to Jesus. But there are four men that had a different expectation. And there are four men that had a friend who was paralyzed. I want to say that just like that paralyzed man, we all have all been paralyzed in our lives. The stigma that was attached to a paralyzed man in those days was very grave in more ways than one. The stigma that was attached to the paralyzed man was either your mom or dad have sinned or you have sinned. So there's a stigma that was attached to his paralysis. And not only was there the stigma that was attached to it, there's no ways that he had any destiny, any future. Most likely he was destined to be on the side of the road begging for the rest of his life. I want you to put yourselves in that street. I want you to put yourselves in this man's shoes. He had no family. Either because they rejected him, or because maybe they had died. Why is it that his friends carried him and not his family? And so here we have a man who had nothing to give. All he had brought was friends and his paralysis. That's all he had. And I love the story of mercy. The story of Jesus' mercy. And so we have a man that every single one of us in our lives somehow came to a point where we were paralyzed by sin, where there's nothing we could do about for ourselves. There's nothing. We had the stigma of sin attached to us. We were paralyzed. We had no hope, no destiny, no future. That's the picture of every single one of us before we were brought to the feet of Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of the gospel. And so that man represents so many of us and all of us at one stage in our lives, paralyzed by the fall. But his friends, and this is such a beautiful picture of ministry in the church. Friends who desperate to see breakthrough for this man, broke through the ceiling and placed him at the feet of Jesus. It's a beautiful picture of the church, of what we call to do in our ministry, where we're desperate to see people come to healing and to wholeness and to fulfillment of destiny and identity in God. That is, and what these friends do, they pick him up and they see you're desperate, you need Jesus. We can't help you. There's one man who can. And that's a personal encounter with Jesus. That's what you need. You don't need to be outside the door. That man left on the streets outside the door, Jesus could not have touched or healed. He was brought to the feet of Jesus. Ministry's like that. Ministry shouldn't ever be about us, about our gifting, whatever we've got in our gifting, no matter what God's given us. The purpose of ministry in the church is to bring each other and bring others and bring those who are hurting, those that are in pain, those that are without future. You bring them to the feet of Jesus. Such a beautiful picture of the church. You bring them to the feet of mercy, because that man couldn't do anything for himself. What kind of faith do you have? Is there a desperate faith to see breakthrough in your life or breakthrough in the lives of others? This is the church that makes a difference. Those are desperate to see God break through into the lives of others. And so here we come. We're sitting in this meeting, and I'm hoping all of us are desperate for God to break through into lives around us or into my life. There should be a desperation. And I've got very good news for you. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. And so here we have. So I want to ask you the question. Is there anything crowding out your encounter with Jesus at this point in time? Could be doubt, could be fear, could be disappointment. What is it that stops you from breaking through the roof and find yourself at the feet of Jesus? Could be fear, could be doubt, as I said. The things that are past, what is it that may be holding us back from true encounter with Jesus? Because the reality is he's wanting us to meet with him. He wants us to come sit at his feet. Hallelujah. Are you there? Amen. Okay. So he's carried by his friends, and they placed at the feet of Jesus. I want you to see the window of the heart of the Father revealed through Jesus, this paralyzed man. The background, let me just get some water if that's all right. Where's my water? Oh, here. So here we have a man, broken, most likely on the street, rejected most likely by his family, rejected by society. And Jesus offers him the most profound words in Scripture. One of the most profound. My son. I want you to just realize just what it meant for this man to be called my son. Remember, it was his friends that brought him. And right in that moment, God, the Father, through Jesus, just put right into the man's heart his sonship, his identity. Tonight I want to say to you that before you try and qualify or do anything for God, or before we function as deacons or elders, or we in our gifting or as saints, you need to know, number one, that that's how the Father sees you and me. The first word he'll say to you when you get to heaven, I believe, is not my elder, not my pastor, not my saint. Say to you, my son, my daughter, my child. Right there and there, in front of this crowd sitting there, Jesus affirms the man's sonship. And I want to speak sonship and daughtership and identity over you as a congregation and over us. This world has got so many orphans. spiritual orphans, I know in the natural as well. People have been broken and paralyzed by the fall, hurt, abused, gone through terrible, terrible stuff in their own lives. Many might have sinned. Someone gave me a picture that maybe there's even sin tonight in your life that is stopping you from encountering Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. You all know how Jesus, now the Father, sees you. He sees you as a child, as his child, as his son first. Because he says, my son, before he says, your sins are forgiven. It's a beautiful picture of mercy. Beautiful picture of mercy. Father, I just speak sonship over this congregation. Put your hand on your heart just right now. Just receive that. Some of us may be confident in our sonship. Some of us may just want to revel in the truth right now. That I'm a child of God. Some of us may really struggle with that. Maybe struggle. Maybe with something in our past. Maybe something that happened in our own home with our dad, with our mom. Whatever it is, tonight you need to know the Father's heart is to affirm your sonship, your daughtership of your heart, of your life. Sing with Michael just as a declaration of the Father's words of you.
Child of God.
Yeah.
Oh, I am a child of God because of you, Jesus. I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I am a child of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that truth, Jesus. We revel in the price you paid to redeem your sons and your daughters for yourself. That is the beauty of this gospel. Son, my child. Luke 15 verse 20 says, the prodigal son, while he was still a far way off, the father saw him and ran out. And he was saying his words, Father, I'm not your son. I'm a slave. I want to just be your slave. And he shushed him and just said, kissed him, embraced him. Kissed him before he confessed. Embraced him before he changed his pig-smelling clothes. Incredible, incredible mercy. We revel in that. Let's have the joy of our sonship and our daughtership, because that is what Jesus came to redeem. Your sins are forgiven. That means that Jesus, when our sins are forgiven, he imputes his righteousness. He exchanges, imputation means he exchanges his righteousness for us. He takes on our sin and we get His righteousness. That is a mystery. It's a miracle. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You now have the righteousness of Christ. You now have free access to the Father. That's who we are. That's who we are. Sons and daughters who have access to the Father because our sins are forgiven because of the work of Jesus, the completed work. And there's obviously these conversations, and the teacher of the law said, who gave you authority to forgive sin? And Jesus said to them, this is what he's actually saying, I'm paraphrasing. All these years, you have said, this man that was crippled, it was his sin that made him like that. And I tell you, it's not his sin. But I'm going to break the words that you've spoken of him. I'm going to break the accusations you brought him. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show you that his sins are forgiven. And because his sins are forgiven, he's going to be healed. He's going to rise up and walk. So the very thing, the very stigma that was attached to his, he's been crippled, is going to be broken. So when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, he broke the stigma of paralysis that was hanging over this man for years and years and years. Jesus comes to break the curse of the accuser over you. The very weight of sin, the very stigma, the guilt, the shame, the lack of the no destiny, no future, no hope, those things that are attached to our sin, he has broken it on the cross. He paid, it's complete. When you come to him, you say, Jesus, forgive me. You know what he does? He actually forgives you. Not only has he forgives you of your sins, but it forgives you of the very weight that sin carries with it. The guilt, the shame. It's a beautiful story of Jesus in the house when we carry the message of the gospel. While we were yet sinners, Christ showed his love for us, that he died on the cross for us. While we're still sinners. And so the forgiveness not only removes the stigma of sin, but it removes its effect and the punishment over our lives. The accuser's power, I want to say, is broken over your life. I don't know what the enemy's been telling you, some of you, but I want to tell you right now, Jesus broke the curse over your life. Words that have been spoken over you, words that you've spoken over yourself, the curse is broken. There are no accusations. The woman who was caught in sin, Jesus said, where are your accusers? And I'll say to you right now, when your sin is forgiven, the accuser has no power over you. Don't give him power. Don't let the enemy have the last say on your life, or the first say for that matter. Jesus has broken the power of sin over your life. This man no longer had to be seen as a crippled man whose sin defined him. He was the man whose Jesus' love and grace defined. Most beautiful words in Scripture, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. But salvation is more than just sins forgiven. You see, Jesus said, I want to make sure that you understand that that bed that you're brought onto, that bed that your friends lowered you down at my feet no longer holds you, but you hold it. You are more than a conqueror. You are going to carry the bet. The very thing that held you, you are now going to hold. The very thing that defined your life is now going to be redefined, your destiny. Stand up. Stand up. This is the new you. You're my son. Your sins are forgiven. Stand up. Stand up. Look me in the face. Look me straight in the eye. This is who you are. This is who I say you are. This is my definition of you. You're my son. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're in right standing with me. Now stand up. You've got a conviction. Stand on the purposes and the truth of God's word and what he says of your life. Stand. By the way, this is very good things that counseling, by the way, too. If you ever want to counsel someone, bring people into wholeness, bring them to a place of salvation, but then bring them to a place of living their healing. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to walk for you. He said, you stand up. You stand up. You belong to the Father. There was you suffered, but there's glory in your suffering. My sister, I think I've shared this before, has suffered, the one in America, suffered for many, many, many years with chronic disease, bedridden most of her life for various reasons. And I saw about a year and a half ago, understanding her pain and the discomfort and everything in her body that's been going on. She's not serving the Lord at the moment. Served the Lord many years, and my prayer is that she comes to know Jesus. But the last time I saw her, probably the last day before we left, when I saw her about a year and a half ago, we went on a holiday to New Zealand. I said to her, Debs, my sister's name's Deborah, Debs. I said, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the pain. I don't know the two divorces you've been through, what they did to you, but I know that right now God has a purpose. I can't fully empathize, but I know God's in it. Don't waste your suffering. Where's Danelle? I saw Danelle earlier on. There you go, she's there somewhere. I say, Danelle, I don't know. There you go. At the back. Man, I know what you're going through. But I want to tell you something. What I've seen in your guys' lives, you're not wasting it. You're not wasting what you're going through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You're a person that in the midst of this, you're standing. You're picking up this mat. You're picking up this bed of cancer that's got hold of you. You're saying, this is not going to define my life. This bed is not going to, I'm taking hold of it because this is who Jesus said I am. I'm a daughter of the King. And I'm going to grab hold of this. I'm not going to allow this sickness and disease to be my definition. My defining moment in life is the moment that Jesus took hold of my life and became his daughter. Well done. And I don't know what, I just know that you're not wasting it. Keep going. Keep going. We are trusting. And even tonight we can pray for you again for complete healing. I want to bring you to the feet of Jesus. See what he does. Pick up your beds. I'm no longer weighed by the sin and its power. The very object of my shame now becomes the object of his glory. And this is my story. Beautiful, beautiful picture. Stand up. Pick up your bed. Walk. 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 Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. You now have a future. Paralyzed, no future, no identity, no nothing to hang on to life for but the breath that he is breathing. But now Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into him. He was healed. And now he had identity. There's something significant that God did in his heart, because now his very story brings me to a place of thinking, God, your story is amazing. Jesus came to Capernaum. Capernaum, the word Capernaum means chaos. Jesus came to Capernaum to bring order into chaos. And I don't know what you're going through in your life today, what God's done and what's happened in your life up that's brought you to now, but I want to tell you that God wants to place everything that was out of order, that the enemy has stolen, he wants to put back into order, into the right order, which is a right relationship with him, where your identity in Jesus is restored. Where your dignity is restored. Where your destiny is restored. That is the redeeming work of the Father. If Jesus came into this house, I believe you'd be looking at his sons and his daughters. I know you'd do some preaching as you did, but his heart would be, I want to redeem. I want to restore. I want to bring back. And yeah, there's going to be a moment in a moment's time that I'm going to give you to respond to Jesus. He would come and restore you to himself as a son, as a daughter, no longer an orphan. The prodigal son, the father gave him a cloak. He said, your shame is covered. Gave him a ring, said, your dignity is restored. You now have the authority. Shoes on each feet. Your destiny is secured. The servants had to go and wash him, because before he went for the feast, I'm sure he had to be clean. But God doesn't worry too much about that. But what he knows is every time that prodigal son sat at the table, the son wore a coat, stretched out, get a piece of food, there was the ring on his finger. And as he walked out the room, there was sandals on his feet. What an awesome meeting that would be if we see this when Jesus comes into our meetings. So what would happen if Jesus came to our meeting? He would redeem. He'd restore. He'd inspire. He'd want us to fall more in love with him. Doesn't the story just make you fall more in love with Jesus? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Colossians 1 verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reality is, the beauty of it is, we come here together, Jesus actually is here. Jesus is here because he's in you and he's in me. And it's a beautiful picture. Are we ready for what God wants to do in us and through us? We are called to be the redemptive centers of the world, to restore people back to God. We are called by the Holy Spirit to reveal the heart of the Father. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you this evening that you have come to reveal the heart of the Father to us. That tonight, every single person needs to know that I know that they know that they matter to you. Every single person here needs to know, Father, that you have got something awesome in store for them. You've got a destiny. You've got a future. You want to secure them in the truth that they are righteous before you, God. That is what defines us. You, Father, define us. I pray by your Spirit now, God, that you speak to every single one of us right now. I believe this word is a very simple word, but yet it's profound, because it impacts every single one of our hearts. Every single one of our hearts. And then maybe some of you who are visitors, I don't know, we didn't do that thing at the start. If there's visitors here, or some of you may have been coming in, you haven't been here for a while, I want to say to you tonight that I would love to be in a position where I say, I want to put you at the feet of Jesus. The way that I can do it is pray for you. I can pray for you and say, man, you may not feel you've got the strength, but I've got the faith for you that you can come this evening for an intimate encounter with Jesus. Is there anyone right now in this room that wants an encounter with God, a first time encounter with God? You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, but as I've been sharing, your heart has been warmed and you felt, yeah, man, that's what I want. I felt lost. I felt without hope. But listening to Dion and what God is saying through him, I feel like there's something for me. Is there anyone here? I'd love an opportunity for me and maybe some friends to pray for you, to bring you to the feet of Jesus, to hear him say, your sins are forgiven. My child, that's who you are. Why don't you just raise your hand? Is there anyone here? You want to come to know Jesus? This has been you feel this is for me. First time I'm here. And that's me. I want to know that I know that I know that Jesus accepts me as his child. That my sins are forgiven. That the weight and the stigma of that sin that holds me no longer needs to hold me back and define me. Anyone? Anyone, I do want to give an opportunity for Jesus to come and touch and impact your life. Anyone? I trust every single one of you know him. Know him.